Devasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. Or not? Is this? Yeah, 7th canto, chapter 8, text number 8. Sa Ishvara Kala Arukramoso. Sa Ishvara Kala Arukramoso. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Saiva Vishvam Paramasva Shakti Bhi. Srijat Yivat Yati Gunantarishaha. Srijat Yavat Yati Guna Tradeshaha. You have to be much louder, please. Give it more enthusiasm. Several times we have explained that enthusiasm is the key to Krishna consciousness. So please give it more enthusiasm, gusto, and volume for the pleasure of the deities and for the pleasure of all the devas who are also listening to Bhagavad Gita on this planet. Try to understand. And for Srila Prabhupada, who is sitting right here, and for all the Vaishnavacharyas, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sad Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, all the departed Vaishnavas, you must try to understand. This Krishna consciousness movement is their baby. It is not that they are gone, dead, never. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he reasons ill who says the Vaishnavas die. So all the acharyas, they are watching this movement with keen attention. They don't require a material body. They have got superior senses. And similarly, they're watching and they're hearing also. And the devas, the demigods, they're also hearing. It is so high. Bhagavad Gita is so high. Even the demigods, they will come to hear Bhagavad Gita on this planet. It is so attractive because it is Krishna. Govinda, Tribhanga, Krishna, Govinda, the flute player. Now, that should be the meditation. Please. Now put that into your recitation of sound vibration. And let's try it again. Otherwise, slowly, 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 we sink into a mundane conception. Now let's not do that. Let's try again. Sa Ishvara Kala Arukramoso. It's good, that's better, but you can give it more than that. Sa Ishvara Kala Arukramoso. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Yes, yes, but see, everybody's... This side saying one way, this side saying another. It should be, I explained previously that in South India, the Brahmins are keeping meter. It should be, you know, the syllables should be recited together at the same time. It releases greater shakti, not material shakti, but ladini shakti. The amplifies, just like this sound is going into this microphone. And the microphone is amplifying. So when we recite nicely, this Subdabrahm, this transcendental sound vibration, is not mundane. We have explained, it's not like the sound of buses. It's not like the sound of even birds in the sky, bees or other, you know, pleasant sounds of the material world or ugly, horrible sounds of the material world like construction machinery. No, never. It is Subdabrahm. It is transcendental sound vibration. So we have to honor it in that way. Gusto. Enthusiasm, please. And some volume also. Sa Ishwarakala Arukamoso. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Saeva Vishvam Paramasva Shakti Be. Saeva Vishvam Paramasva Shakti Be. Shri Jatvajati Gunachayesha. Shri Jatyavatyati Gunacharyesha. Sa Ishvara Kala Arukamoso. Sa Ishvara Kala Arukamoso. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Saeva Vishvam Paramasva Shakti Be. Saeva Vishvam Paramasva Shakti Be. Shri Jatyavat Yate Guna Chayeshaha. Shri Jatyavat Yate Guna Chayeshaha. Sa Ishwara Kala Arukamoso. Sa Ishwara Kala Arukamoso. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Oja Saha Sattva Balendriyatma. Saeva Vishvan Brahma Swashakti Bi. Saeva Vishvan Brahma Swashakti Bi. Shri Jatyavat Yate Guna Tadeshaha. Shri Jatyavat Yate Guna Tadeshaha. Next. Kala Karukramoso Oja Saha Sattva Parandriyatma Seva Vishvam Paramaswa Yaktabhi Shujapvajat Yate Gunatareshaha Marujis. Taishvara Kala Rukramoso Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities. Controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation. maintains it, and annihilates it also. Since the material world is being moved by the three material modes, and since the Lord is their master, the Lord can create, maintain, and destroy the material world. Let's say the Guru Parampara pranams, please. Everyone. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Shramaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivesesha Sanyavari Paskajade Sataran. Louder. Om Aginata Minandasya Gina Gina Salakaya Choksuun Minitam Gina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, in the previous verses, number 6, we see that Hiranyakasipu is losing his patience, losing his cool, so to speak. And he's bragging. This is a mistake. Bragging just before death. Aham Ishwara, aham Bogi. This is the demoniac mentality. I am the controller. Aham Bogi, I am the enjoyer, I am the Ishwara controller. So in this mood, Hiranyakasipu, after all you have to consider that he has conquered the entire universe, and yet his 5-year-old boy can't control. We see now in, you know, modern parenting that parents sometimes have controlling an ordinary mundane 5-year-old boy may be somewhat difficult. But here, he's not, Hiranyakasipu was supreme, so powerful he could conquer all the devas, so powerful he could drive Indra out of his kingdom, all the demigods previously hiding behind clouds, completely paranoid. So, therefore, his word is law, like supreme. Now, in modern history, we see so many dictators are there. Their word is law. Everyone frightened by a mere movement of eyebrow. This is Hiranyakasipu. So he's bragging, you know, in 6th verse he's bragging, you know, when I'm angry, all the planets of the 3 worlds tremble. This is called false ego. You know, he's bragging. Oh, he should not be bragging, because death is on his head. He's about to die. That is, bragging is not a good idea. But he's saying the 3 worlds tremble along with their chief rulers, the demigods. But then he's also confused. He's bragging in this first breath, and then next he is confused, because then he asks Prahlad, but by whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent? Of course, impudent means proud. That you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Can't believe it. A 5-year-old boy, his own son he can't control. Whole universe, all the planets, trembling. Actually, that's not an exaggeration. They were. Everything was, he was terrifying the entire universe. With absolute control. This is what demons want. Absolute power. Absolute control. Unquestioned. My word is law. Do what I say or die. That is demoniac. Although Prabhupada was the supreme authority in this woman, he never had that demoniac mood. Never. Not even for a split moment. Not even a split moment. The way Srila Prabhupada managed this ISKCON society, he managed very strongly. He didn't, you know, he was not, you know, that saying, namby-pamby. He was not, you know, okay, now, be good, kids. You know, you're a little off. Be nice. You know, he wasn't like that. He was not, you know, forgive me for saying this, but the point is that He was not wimpy. He was not, a coward. He was not afraid of his own disciples. He was not afraid to give very powerful and forceful instruction, especially to his leading disciples. But the way in which Srila Prabhupada managed this movement was with the thunderbolt, far stronger than the thunderbolt of Indra, because Indra's thunderbolt is material, whereas Srila Prabhupada's thunderbolt is spiritual. Notice I said is. I didn't say was. You know, our meditation should be in the present for Srila Prabhupada, not just that Prabhupada was a great personality that appeared in the past, and now we can do whatever we want. We can try to follow some of his instructions. We can try to carry on this Hare Krishna movement. We could try to do so many things as if Prabhupada were dead and gone. I got to tell you something wonderful in this regards. Our godbrother Prithu Prabhu, he was present in Vrindavan when Srila Prabhupada was laid into Samadhi. In the, of course, they dig a pit in the ground. Sannyasis are not, they're not burned in a fire. Sannyasis are always put into Samadhi, and the body is covered with salt. So there was a large pit was dug in the location of where the present Samadhi is located, Krishna Balaram Mandir. So all the ceremonies and so forth were taking place, and the Prabhupada's body was covered first with salt. That is the method for saintly persons. So Prithu Prabhu, he told the story of Prabhupada's disappearance in Vrindavan. It's an awesome story. Awesome story. Short story, but awesome. He said that he had a dream, and Prabhupada told his disciples that when he appeared in dreams, it was really him. It was not imagination. He was asked, because when Prabhupada is on the planet, sometimes devotees would have dreams about Prabhupada. And even after Prabhupada's departure, there were some dreams. One devotee, one godbrother was having dreams about how the movement was being managed and things that were going on. And somehow or other, that godbrother, for a while anyways, had sufficient credibility that even the GBC believed. Remember that dream series? And even the GBC took those dreams seriously. Later, his dreams were a little off. But the thing is, the dreams in which he was receiving instruction from Prabhupada, and even the GBC took those dreams seriously. So, you know, Acharya can appear in dreams. That's a fact. And Prabhupada told us, told his disciples. So, Prithu Prabhu had a dream, and he saw himself standing next to the pit where Prabhupada's body was being laid in Samadhi. But in the dream, Srila Prabhupada walked up next to him and stood next to him. This is a dream. And Prabhupada said to Prithu Prabhu, he said, "They think that I am dead." That's pretty heavy. Prabhupada personally instructing him that there should be no conception that Acharya is dead. And I've already quoted from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "He reasons ill who think that Vaishnavas die." Specifically, who are living still and sound. We still have available the tapes of Srila Prabhupada, fortunately. We're still able to hear Prabhupada Bhajan singing. There's no excuse. Everyone must take this advantage of Srila Prabhupada's transcendental voice. There's a chance that our hard, stone-like, steel-like hearts can at least be warmed up a bit if maybe we're too hard-hearted for the subdabrahmana transcendental sound to melt our hearts, but at least we should warm up the steel, isn't it? At least we should try to warm up the steel if we can't melt it. At least we should warm it up. We have no power to melt this steel-framed heart. Only the Subdabrahm, only instructions of founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada can melt this heart. Only descending power. The New Age people, they say descending power. Yes, that's a fact. But not some, you know, just angels. New Age people believe in angels. That's a fact. There are angels. We describe them as devas. There are angels. Like in the Bhagavatam, there are pictures of angels. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, they showed the painting of Junior Haridas looking, appearing like an angel. So we accept these things. generally, devas, they are devas. They are heavenly personalities who interact with this earth planet. So this is not mythology. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement we have to take very serious, that he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die, who are living still and sound. We have video recordings of Srila Prabhupada, readily available. I'm going to personally recommend, I was discussing with Siddhanta Prabhu, who runs in the Prasadam Hall, he's playing the Prabhupada interviews, recollections of disciples recalling Srila Prabhupada. And I was telling him, I'm personally going to recommend to the GBC that they make a resolution. Each and every temple should have a video library, carefully managed, of course, under lock and key with a responsible for a librarian. But this wealth of Sabra-Brahm coming from the lips of a Nitya-Siddha devotee. Nitya means eternal. Siddha can mean many things. It can mean mystic powers, but in this case it means transcendental, liberated soul, never contaminated by material energy. Even they come into this material world, but never touched by the material energy. Never. No matter how much their life, history, appears to be like an ordinary human being. Never. Just like Srila Prabhupada's life, if you watch the Abhicharan series, how many of you have seen at least part of the Abhicharan series videos? So the early section about Prabhupada's house or life, a foolish neophyte or a non-devotee might confuse his so-called material life with mundane persons. No, not even in his household life. Same thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur we discussed. So many children he had, some 17, 18 children, something, 16. Big number of children. He was administrator for the British. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so good at his so-called material duties that in his biography, the seventh Goswami, biography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is very wonderful and describes so much of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's activities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so good as administrator that the British, because remember he was working for the British government. They were the rulers of India in the 1800s. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so capable that there was competition amongst the British administrators who could get him in their territory. That much he was sought after. And they knew he was a Hare Krishna devotee. Hare Bal! Come on, that was weak. Hare Bal! That's still weak. Hare Bal! They knew he was a Hare Krishna devotee. They didn't care. That standard is there. Whatever we do, we should be first class. We should do first class. We can earn the respect of the whole world. If we just, whatever we do as Vaishnavas or aspiring as Vaishnavas, we should do first class. Then everybody will say, yes, those Hare Krishnas are good people. They're very good. Employers will say, I prefer to hire Hare Krishnas. That's coming, but we've got a ways to go yet. But we should come to that point where employers will seek out Hare Krishna devotees. You know, we don't see so much in this country. We've got professionals already in this country. Like, there's Dr. Rade, what is her name? Rade Prem. She is a heart surgeon, and her husband is a pediatrician. They're already professionals. There is Dr. Emily Penny, who lives in the community here. She's a naturopathic doctor. Already professionals are there. But in India, in this country, there are some professionals. But in India, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of professionals already. Hundreds. You name it. Lawyers, doctors, administrators, CPAs. You name a career, nurses, everything. Like in Bhaktivedanta Hospital is the epitome of dovetailing Krishna consciousness with a material situation. I think I explained previously that the staff of Bhaktivedanta Hospital has to gather twice a day. Did I tell this previously? Oh, it's very important. First of all, you walk into the lobby of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. It's in a suburb of Mumbai. Mumbai is a huge city. And Mira Road district. You walk into the lobby and there's Srila Prabhupada sitting on a Vyasasan, surrounded by a small garden. So everybody coming into the entrance of the hospital has to take darshan of Srila Prabhupada. They like or don't like it, it doesn't matter. They are taking darshan of Prabhupada regardless. And then at least twice a day, the entire staff of the hospital who aren't in an emergency or not in surgery or something like that, nurses and doctors, they gather behind Srila Prabhupada and chant the Sikshastika. Hari Bol! That was weak. Hari Bol! This is what happens when Krishna consciousness is introduced into the mundane plane and it becomes transcendental. All day long, day and night, instead of music, you know, music, elevator music, instead of music, Prabhupada is singing through the speakers in the ceiling all day long, all night long. In your room, if you want, you've got a switch on the wall and you can switch channels. You can change it to a Prabhupada lecture if you like, you know. So it's very transcendental. Always transcendental sound is going, always. And so this is just one example. And many of the doctors and nurses who are staff members in the hospital are wearing Vaishnav tilak. Hari Bol! This is the future. This is the future. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you will know that our Krishna consciousness movement will be successful when the judges are wearing tilak. And it is almost coming because there's so many advocates in India. So many advocates, they call them in India, judges. I mean to say lawyers are called advocates in India. So many that are already fixed up devotees, and it's only a matter of time that some of them become highly placed judges. It's only a matter of time. And that time will come when they can openly wear tilak in the courtroom. That day will come. I don't know if it'll be in lifetime of those that took direct initiation from Prabhupada, but that day is coming. So this will be the success of this Krishna consciousness. So the Sabda Brahma is available. Prabhupada singing and his lectures. So there's a very important description of the Sabda Brahma coming from the lips of a pure devotee. Pure devotee, we're taking it to, in this context, to mean Nitya Siddha devotee, resident of Braj, eternal resident of Vrindavan. There's different conceptions of pure devotee. But the highest conception is the residents of Braj who descend into this world. That is the highest conception. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's some verses explain about what is that Sabda Brahma coming from the lips of a resident of Braj who is, you could say, adventing, functioning in this material world. So in the spiritual world, it is said that everyone, all song, all talk is song and all walk is dance. That is said about the spiritual world. There's nothing mundane about it. It's completely transcendental. Well, Krishna is not a statue. Krishna is moving around. He's doing things. He's very active. He's always doing things. So when he's moving, actually the gopis, they love to decorate Krishna's bodies. One of their favorite activities is decorating Krishna's lotus feet, painting gopi dots on his face and little designs. The way pujaris often will put little designs on the cheeks of the deities and so forth. That is eternal tradition. So the gopis love to decorate Krishna and perfume him and jewelry, all these things. They like to do these. This is their intimate service of great spontaneous love. So they also put a saffron paste on his lotus feet. And after some time, the saffron paste dries. Though, because Krishna's not standing in one place only, he's not standing only in one place. When Krishna moves, the particles, they come off. You remember this shloka? I don't recall the exact, you know, area, but so those particles of saffron paste, saffron mixed with sandal paste, when they come, because Krishna moves and this in Goloka Vrindavan, those particles come off, and where do they go? They don't just fall on the ground. They are carried in the air, transcendental spiritual air. They are carried in a, you could say, transcendental breezes, so to speak. And those Bhagavatam, this is not my language. This is what the Bhagavatam says. Saffron mercy particles. Everyone say, saffron mercy particles. Again, saffron mercy particles. So they're floating, and they're carried. How are they carried? And how do those saffron mercy particles descend into this material world? Through the sound of the voice of the Nitya Siddha devotees. When Prabhupada is singing, when he's speaking, anything he says, anything he sings, it is saturated with saffron mercy particles coming from the lotus feet of Krishna. Hari Bol! Saffron mercy bottle. That is Sabdabrahm. That is transcendental sound vibration. Has nothing to do with this material world. Imported from Goloka Vrindavan. Not imported from some any place. No, not imported from the higher planets. Not imported even from Vaikuntha. But from Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's planet. Imported from Krishna's planet. His abode. So nobody can estimate then the power. We still have the facility with these electronic devices to hear Prabhupada's voice. Every must do that. I'll tell you frankly, you know, of course there are many, a significant number of Prabhupada disciples seated here today. And I can say for myself personally, one of my successes is that I try to always have transcendental sound going. And out of all the different kirtans, there's so much kirtan available from ISKCON, kirtaniers, and so forth. But my favorite, most soothing is I like to play Prabhupada Bhajan. And I have a little portable speaker in my room, rechargeable portable speaker in my room, and I'm playing Prabhupada. And I can listen for hours and hours and hours. In fact, I often play all night long in Prabhupada Bhajan, all night long, you know. Because I want that association! And it's not just available for me, not just available for those who took direct diksha from Srila Prabhupada. It's available for everyone. But you have to take it. Because if you don't take it, you will sink into the bodily concept of lies. Guaranteed. If you don't take association with Srila Prabhupada, association with Prabhupada, for those who did not physically meet him, association with Prabhupada doesn't just mean coming and offering flowers here in the temple room. This is first class, but there's more to association than that. The real association, the topmost association is Vani, instructions. Whoever follows the Prabhupada's instructions, that is direct association. It's not indirect. It's not filtered. If you rise early in the morning, chant 16 rounds, hear the Bhagavad Katha, read in the Shastra Prabhupada's books, that is direct. It's not indirect. It's not filtered. It's not watered down. Direct association with Siddha Prabhupada. And following his vani, following his instructions, and hearing the sound vibration of Siddha Prabhupada's transcendental voice. While we have this opportunity, we have to take it. Who can say, maybe even 100 years from now, who can say if these electronic devices will still be available? But there's nobody here. We'll all be gone from this planet who is sitting here today. But we have today the opportunity. We should take it. We have to take it. So, because we have this, got this demoniac tendency also. We have got demoniac tendency. That is, as long as we are not free from envy, as long as we are intolerant, as long as you're not overflowing with our hearts full of loving mercy, as long as we are not forgiving, these are Vaishnav qualities. And unless we are fully developed these qualities, some demonic tendency remains. As long as there is false pride, these things are ultimately demoniac. We see in the behavior of Hiranyakasipu. We all have some inner Hiranyakasipu, but maybe very, very small. But it is there. As long as we have got false pride, false ego, you know, as long as we cannot appreciate the Vaishnavas, if we can't appreciate the devotees, what means sadhu sangha? Here today is all sadhus. Ladies are also sadhus who are chanting the holy name. As given by, I believe I mentioned previously, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to this village in South India from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaliningram, and he had only one question. The residents of Kaliningram had only one question: who is a Vaishnava? And Mahaprabhu went there three times, but each time he gave a different. They asked the same question, he gave a different answer. But the one that I remember most prominently is they asked, "Who is a Vaishnava?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Whoever chants Hare Krishna, they are Vaishnava." So who is chanting Hare Krishna? They are sadhu. Maybe not high class, but they are sadhu. So we have to appreciate the sadhu sangha. And sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, Mahaprabhu said three times. That association with devotees. And in Lilamrita, in the Namamrita every morning, we're hearing the glories of the holy name, the power of the holy name. Even if spoken, meaning something else. Just like we've got this international hotel chain, Ramada Inn. Now, nobody could imagine the good fortune of all the employees of Ramada Inn. Nobody could imagine. Especially the switchboard operator. Ramada Inn, can I help you? 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 Supposing somebody's working at that switchboard 8 hours. 8 hours of chanting. Ramada Inn, can I help you? And we know from the story of Ajamil that it doesn't matter. They think they're talking about a mundane hotel. It doesn't matter. The holy name of Rama is there, and it acts on the absolute plane. And I try to explain to people in India, but they never, you know, it's not a practice in India. But in America, for some reason, they have this thing like Dollarama, you know. See, people are naturally attracted by the name of Ram. Naturally, it's natural. It comes from the heart, from the soul. Dollarama. So, you know, they put this up for advertising. Today only, Dollarama! Anything on sale, $1 off! Whatever, but they're saying the name of Ram, you know. And so the name of Rama comes up so many ways. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that even if the syllables are separated, then the holy name is so powerful that they, you could say, magnetically they fuse together, even if there's something in between, some other syllable in them. Supposing you said Raha Rama or something. But you get the credit of saying Ram, Rama, even if there's some other syllable is there. And the example in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that the Muslim was being killed by a boar. Ha Rama means how horrible. He said Ha Rama. In Persian language, Ha Rama means how horrible, but he got the full benefit. So how much benefit there is in this? We have to take it. Shabda Brahm. That we can actually become liberated. There's different conceptions of liberation, but if we take Prabhupada's instructions, if we value the Vaishnavas, value devotees, that is so essential, then we can become free from all these little defects of Hiranyakasipu type mentality that we hold on to. We can become purified from that. Anyone have any questions, comments? Yes, please.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. On the subject of Hare Krishna. Can you hear me? Thank you very much. On the subject of Shabda Brahma, I've heard it said a few times that Prabhupada's statements have a sort of relative authority in the sense that whatever stated in Prabhupada's book should be considered absolute. What's stated in a lecture might be relative to a certain situation, and what Prabhupada has written in a letter to someone would be considered even more relative to a particular situation. I'm wondering if you could comment on that, please.
You're asking where is it stated?
I mean, I've heard a few persons make that statement. I'm wondering if you agree with that statement or if you can comment upon that. Is it that what Prabhupada stated in his books is somehow more authoritative than a statement he may have made to
does
a particular person in a letter?
Does reading in the book count as Shabda Brahma? Is that your question?
Sorry, my question is that... So I've heard the statement that what Prabhupada has stated in his books is considered absolute, it's relevant to everyone, whereas something that he might have said in a lecture would be more relative to a particular situation, whereas something he said in a letter to someone would be more specifically relative to a person. I'm wondering if you can comment on that, please.
Yeah, there. If you go through the Vedabase, you'll find transcripts of discussions of Srila Prabhupada with disciples. Sometimes the instructions are universal. Sometimes they're desha, kala, patra, time, place, and circumstance to an individual. But what Prabhupada has written in his purports, he's writing for everyone for 10,000 years. So therefore, you could say in that sense that it applies to everyone. And as far as the lectures, he would lecture according to circumstance also, but still, it is for everyone. Many times, devotees would hear Prabhupada speaking in a lecture, and they would report afterwards they felt that Prabhupada was speaking directly to them personally, as if one-on-one, whereas actually he was giving a lecture for a whole crowd of hundreds of people. But Krishna within the heart of Chaitya Guru would reveal to that devotee the direct impact, direct meaning of the words of Srila Prabhupada, how it applied to that person for their spiritual advancement. So they are for everyone, the famous Bhaktivedanta purports, they are for everyone actually. And the lectures, oftentimes Prabhupada would present. There's a lot more, generally the purports and his purports in his books may be more in-depth than the lectures, you know. The lectures Prabhupada said most largely for outsiders, congregation, and he expected his disciples would be dive deep into his books. So sometimes the instruction in his books is more intimate than what he would say at a lecture, you know. But it's there's different, you know, it's not, you can't stamp them all with the same stamp, you know. Yes? Yes, Subhashji.
I think on that point, the basis is because if Prabhupada was writing in his books or if he was speaking, the message is always the absolute truth, which is about Krishna. And if he was to chastise someone, it was about their Krishna consciousness. Not that he wanted something from an individual or that he hated someone. But everything that he did was to get that person or persons or the world to come to Krishna consciousness. So I don't think we can really just try to sit here and dissect what he did in a class, what he did in a morning walk, and what he wrote in his books. They're all the same. The purport is the same. The bottom line, so to speak, is the same. It's for our Krishna consciousness. So even if he was speaking to someone about their family life, it was in relationship to their Krishna consciousness. If he was chastising someone, it was in relationship to their Krishna consciousness. And when he's writing in his books, yes, it was much more you might say scholarly. You might use that word scholarly. Prabhupada tried to write his books more scholarly in order to attract the scholarly type individuals about Krishna consciousness. But the bottom line was, if you read his purport, he sometimes would even criticize the so-called scholarly individuals and say so many negative things about him. But the point being is, the bottom line is, it was for that individual's Krishna consciousness.
Yes, thank you very much. Jagaguru Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Rukmini Ji Udokadesh ki jai, Gopremanande.